Today on The Journey.
You're not going to get through life without failing. That's just the reality of life. And our kids need to know how to fail. And if we try to save our kids from failing every time, we're doing them a disservice.
It's in the commonplace obligations of life that we and our children prove our trustworthiness to handle the weightier things. So what are those responsibilities and how can we reliably imprint them on our children? In this half hour, Ron Moore and his special guest outline the basics of responsible living and how mastery of them can prepare your child for success in life. Before that, I want you to know about Living Grounded. It's a fully illustrated, interactive study of the foundational truths of the Christian faith. Living Grounded is available at ronmoore.org for a gift of any amount. Your gift will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, here's Ron to introduce his guest for part two of their discussion titled Responsibility on the Journey.
Well, welcome to The Journey. We're involved in a special series of programs on parenting. And joining me in this series is Dr. Bob Fredo, who has worked with children and parents for over 30 years. Dr. Fredo, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Ron. It's great to be here.
Bob, we've called this series Imprint Parenting. That's based on a passage in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to ask you to read that passage, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, because this is really where the Old Testament talks about the importance of modeling and mentoring in this responsibility and great privilege of parenting.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them to your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates.
So these verses in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, really remind us that parenting is not a compartment of our life, but parenting is a 24/7 responsibility. In this Old Testament passage, it tells us we must be the model and the mentor. We must show and tell our kids. We are to teach them and we're to show them. We are to imprint or impress on them these truths. And we have chosen five characteristics: respect, responsibility, honesty, compassion, and integrity. So we're talking about responsibility here. We're focusing on parenting. We're trying to be as practical as possible. What are the things we can do to develop responsibility into the life of our children? Let's talk about modeling with our money. It's modeling our giving, and it's modeling our generosity, and we need to model that well. The important part of money is learning these four basic principles of giving. Number one, Scripture is clear that God owns all things. Everything I have comes from Him. Psalm 24, God says, if I were hungry, I wouldn't have to ask you because I can get the food I need on my own. So God owns all things. Secondly, since God owns all things we have are a gift from Him. So He has given us money, every dollar, every cent, everything we have, that's a gift from Him. All things are to be used for Him. So we can demonstrate to our children that having a home is a great gift from God, and here's how we can use our home to show hospitality, to share God's word. We use our home for maybe a small group or a Bible study, and our kids can say, you know what? A home's just not a place to hang out. A home's a place to be used to honor God. And we need to do that with all our possessions. And then giving is an act of worship. We need to teach our children to be givers. We got to teach our children to be generous. We got to teach our children that there's some sacrifice in giving. It's not just I give what's left over, but our giving is sacrificial. At our church here, we've gone through some building campaigns, and it's always been fun to walk our children through that so that they know that we're going to do without some things because we believe investing in God's work is more important. And so we might sacrifice. And our kids picked up on that. And that was exciting to see them get involved in and give out of their money that they earned babysitting or mowing grass or whatever they were doing. So giving is critical. And our kids have to see us modeling responsibility. And now comes the teaching part. What are the practical things we can do to teach responsibility to our kids? Let's start with this first one, giving your children home duties. Now, I know that's age appropriate, but talk about that. Our kids can do probably more than we think they can.
Right. I'm glad you said that first, because I'm always looking out for the kids, because sometimes we can get a little overzealous in the kind of things we expect of our children when they're young, and that leads to some problems with relationships. But very important to notice that at very early ages, children should learn that in the culture of our home, everybody has a role and pitches into those things that need to be done. It takes time, it takes energy, it takes investment, but we're the parents, they're our children, and it's going to pay off in great ways if we do that well. So giving them expectations for how they manage themselves first is very important. Personal hygiene is one thing that we transfer over as soon as we can for them so that they can begin to take care of themselves and prepare themselves. That's one way to help them understand you're responsible for these things. Even choosing appropriate clothes, which can really pay off when your children get into middle school years.
Mm-hmm. You have a great story about a parent who came to you and wanted you to tell their daughter not to wear certain clothes.
Yeah, actually asked for me to tell them that. And I had to explain that I did that already.
That was
it's your
first,
time now, yeah. Right? Yeah, I'm glad to help, but yes, parenting is challenging, but a way that we can help ourselves as parents getting through those inevitable tough times is to start our children when they're young, labeling what responsibility is and attaching something to that, something practical that they could do so they understand what it is, so they don't have to ask, well, why do I have to do this? Mm-hmm. They already answered that question for themselves, because it's my responsibility.
You know, the hard part of this one, and I've learned this the hard way, is it takes twice as long to do a project when you're teaching your child how to do that project than it does if you just do it yourself. If you're changing a tire on a car, I think that's an important responsibility. Some dark road, some night, your kid is in a car and they have a flat tire. They need to know how to change a tire. It's a practical thing. It takes time to do that. Now, again, age appropriately, when they're three, they're not going to need to know how to change a tire. But having them work with us and alongside us. I'm going to tell you, that three-year-old right there beside you wanting to do all that stuff, in 10 years, they're not going to be beside you wanting to work with you out in the yard or whatever. But as you teach them along the way, this is what we do. This is part of our house. This is the responsibility that you have here. This is the responsibility of living in a family. Here's how we do things together. Critical things with home duties. And again, you have to decide what you have going on at your home, how you divvy up those chores, and age-appropriate duties at home. All right, one sport at a time. Here's one we've talked about before, because we've coached together and talked to parents, and they say, man, I'm so busy. I got this going on. I got this kid in two sports. I got this kid in three sports. I got this kid on a travel team. We're so busy, we can't have time together at all. And I want to say again, time out. You're the parent. You're signing your kids up for all these things. There's got to be an act of responsibility, teaching our kid to be responsible, be on a team, and be committed to that team. You can't do that when you're in 15 sports at one time.
We live in a world today where there are just great opportunities. I know in our community alone, children could easily be participating in three sports and several other school activities or community activities at one time, and they're all good. So as parents, it's leadership. And it's planning. Planning is a great skill to have and to develop and to teach children how to apply. So in doing that, it'd be easy to walk through a situation with your child and say, what sport do you want to play? And they say, well, I want to play all three. And then just to ask the question, well, how do you see that happening in terms of time management? How would we do that? Then you have an opportunity to talk about what your responsibilities are to each team and to your responsibilities at home and other responsibilities that you have. So thinking through that, I think, makes it self-evident that really what you're doing, you're setting yourself up for disappointing yourself and disappointing others and really not doing anything very well.
I remember at a middle school football game, my son was playing and dad was there, good guy. I mean, his son was playing football. We were there talking during the game and he said, yeah, right after the game, we got to leave. And I've got his food in the car because we're going to soccer practice. And that goes until 9 o'clock tonight. then we got this other thing going on. I thought, when do you have time just to be a kid?
And prioritizing too. I want to put a plug in for the teachers who give homework and value the homework that they give and mm-hmm. value that time that they want the students to invest in that mm-hmm. because they would hear, we give too much homework, and then find that the root of the problem is the fact that the child's in three sports and tried to play all three the night before, and homework just wasn't a priority. And so working through the priorities with the child, actually involving them, again, age appropriately. When they're five, that's probably not a conversation that you can have with them. So as a parent, your responsibility for making sure they're in a situation where they can manage their lives well is a priority for you. Mm-hmm. But as children get older, you can talk through those things with them. And some children can handle a lot of things, maybe more than others. Mm-hmm. But making sure that they know that their responsibilities for everything they do don't end just because they have planned to do additional things.
We all have a lot of things going on in life, and we need to learn responsibly how to balance the opportunities that God gives us. If we have our kids involved in so many sports that they're not doing their homework, it's going to catch up with them. They go to college, and they've learned, I don't have to do homework. I've not learned that skill. I've not learned the skill of studying, and it is a skill. Right. So now I'm in college, and I'm going to go out and goof off all afternoon. That's going to catch up with them sooner or later. So just because your child makes it through middle school with all these activities, or just because they make it through high school with all these activities, sooner or later, you get to a point where you need the skill of studying. You need to know how to do homework, and that responsibility is a skill that's taught and demonstrated by parents.
And understanding where that priority fits into your life.
Let's talk about encouraging our teen to secure a job. We want them to have a job so they can learn to do what?
Well, I have a story where I learned a lot about responsibility when I was not spending my time too well in the summer and just playing sports and not being too productive at home. And my dad came home one day and just said, "You have a job." And so, yeah, tell me about that. So he had already gone, and he decided it was time for me to get a job. I had too much time on my hands. I was probably getting into some mischief. I think I've been employed ever since. I think I was maybe 15 years old at the time and started working, but learned so much through those experiences. Variety of jobs, some that came a little easier to me than others, some I would never want to do again, but I learned in all those experiences, helped me to gain an appreciation for what my dad did. Every day, he had to go to work every day and be responsible to an employer as well as take care of everything at home. So that sort of broadened my perspective. And then it taught me how to interact with other people and to be responsible in a setting outside of the home or school. It's a great transition, builds a nice bridge to the responsibilities of adult life.
So important for you as parents to make certain that your child has an age-appropriate job. This teaches them so many things. First of all, it teaches them the responsibility of being on time. It teaches them responsibility of doing a good job. It teaches them the responsibility of working with an employer. And when there's a challenge in that area, then they can come home and you can help them walk through how you handle a conflict at work. It helps them with the responsibility of working with other employees because, let's face it, they're going to be doing that the rest of their life in some form or fashion. For Lori and me, our kids played sports through junior high and high school. All of them played sports, and all of them had a job. And it was important for us that they do that because they learned the responsibility of getting from a sport, getting to work on time, and then finding time to do the homework. That's real life. That's going to be responsibilities they have in some form or fashion for the rest of their life. And we as parents have the responsibility to teach our children how to do these things. And I know some parents are saying out there, my goodness, that's over the top. They played sports and they worked and they did their homework. Well, if they just do nothing and sit at home or do a sport and then don't learn how to do a job with that, when are they going to learn how to balance those responsibilities? Again, you're the parent, you're the model, and you're the mentor. Again, these are practical life skills of responsibility that we need to be teaching our children. Here's a huge one regarding responsibility. Allow your children to face consequences. Talk about that.
Seems to be a cultural norm these days that in the school world, what we see a lot of is the responsibilities transferring more to the school personnel as opposed to the individual student. A lot of times, in that gap lies a parent who's really trying to protect a child from experiencing what natural consequences are. No child should just breeze through every situation without ever having a conflict or maybe falling short of a goal, missing an assignment, possibly getting into a little bit of trouble for something that happened in school, for example, or possibly the community. I work with the police a lot over the years too, and it's pretty much the same story that they tell. People in positions of authority find resistance more often progressively, I would say, over time, with parents trying to guard their children from experiencing consequences. And the sad thing about that is that it takes away opportunities for them to learn and grow from their mistakes and learning how they can bounce back from them, they can improve upon the situation and really have a great growth experience through that.
You're not going to get through life without failing. There's going to be many times when you fail. That doesn't make you a bad person or a less godly person. That's just the reality of life. And our kids need to know how to fail. And if we try to save our kids from failing every time, we're doing them a disservice. If they get a bad grade, they need to know the consequences of that. If they don't do their homework and fail a test, they need to know the consequences of that. Those are tremendous teaching opportunities. Not to go in to the teacher and say, oh man, we were really busy because we had all this going on, so how can we make this up? That may be a conversation with the teacher, but let your child do that. Teach them how to have that conversation. And just let our kids face the consequences because life is full of consequences.
Even consequences that have very low stakes. Sometimes it's not you failed a whole course. Sometimes it's just the student made a C on a test. And then the parent comes to the defense. There must have been something wrong with how the teacher taught or the grading scale or something other than the responsibility that the child had. And there's a lot more lost in that. Even if the grade would be changed to a higher grade, you lose more than you gain in that situation when you don't allow the student to experience and reflect upon what conditions existed that resulted in them getting a C.
Talking with Bob Fredo, we are talking about parenting, and we have titled this series Imprint Parenting, based on Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says, impress these important things on the lives of your children. I'm going to do one more in this aspect of responsibility, and it's teaching our children how to have healthy relationships. We use an acronym, IPOD, to help children determine the importance of a relationship and how to choose good friends. Now, you being in education for all those years, just for a moment, talk about the importance of being surrounded by good friends and people who hold the same values, the importance of those relationships in the lives of our children.
It has to rank very high, Ron, in terms of those things that will impact a child's future. Parents lose their influence as children go off to school and get involved in community activities and so forth and know less about those with whom their children are spending their time. At the same time, the parents have no less responsibility for making sure that they're in a wholesome and healthy situation in terms of their relationships. I've seen over a period of years, whether they're young children or children in their teens, those who are very intentional about making good decisions about those with whom they spend their time often have the most success and spare themselves from a lot of grief. It really takes away a lot of opportunities to make bad decisions because the influences of peers increases as the children go through their early adolescent and upper adolescent years in ways that parents are never prepared for, that you still think you have that same influence over them, but that draw to gain acceptance from their peers and their classmates is very real and very powerful.
Yeah. So here is an acronym you can use to work through this with your children. It's IPOD, I-P-O-D. Here's what each stand for. The I is initial. Here are the things that you need in a friend. Here are the things that you're not going to sacrifice. Here are the characteristics of a person that you want to spend time with and that you want to interact with. So initial, as a parent, work through this with them. What are some of the initial characteristics a good friend is going to have? The P is preferred. And preferred might be they live within a certain distance. If you have a good friend and they live an hour away, that makes it hard to have the relationship with them that you need. So some preferred things. Again, you work through that with your child. And then the O is optional. Here are some things that could go either way. These things really don't matter whether or not the potential friend has these things or they don't have these things. And the D is denied. That means, is this characteristic in that other child? Then we're not going to risk a relationship with them. They're going to drag you down. They are not going to build you up. We want friends that you can build up, but they're going to build you up as well. So it's a mutual building up. Sometimes we say, well, I want my child to be that person's friend so they can be the one really influencing them. Well, that's putting too much responsibility on our child. So iPod, initial things that you have to have in a relationship, P, preferred, O, optional, and then the D, denied. That's where we stop the train and we get off because we're not going to develop relationships with someone who is exhibiting those types of characteristics. We're listening to The Journey. We're talking about parenting. Today we've talked about building appropriate responsibility into the lives of our children. That means we need to model it, and that means we need to mentor it. Show and tell. Father, we thank you for our time together today. We ask that you help us as parents be those who truly demonstrate what responsibility means. Help us to be responsible followers of Jesus Christ and help us to show our children what it looks like to follow hard after Jesus Christ. We thank you and we pray in his name. Amen.
And Ron and Bob will continue their discussion of show and tell parenting in our next broadcast. Please stay with us for a preview of that conversation. Are you living a life of spiritual transformation? Or do you feel stalled in a dry and lukewarm faith? Well, you can take steps now to energize your walk with Jesus and leave religious pretense behind. That happens when God's Word takes up residence in the deepest recesses of your soul. Start that journey today with Ron Moore's 12-chapter interactive study titled Living Grounded. Within the 242 pages of this handsome, full-color book, you'll discover the foundational truths of Christianity. Among the many important topics explained in Living Grounded are how to know God's will, how to study the Bible, and how to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Living Grounded is available for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call toll-free 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron and Bob for a preview of our next broadcast.
Bob, you got some interesting statistics regarding this character trait of honesty.
Yes, Ron, I'm happy to share these. I've studied this survey over the years. It's done by the Josephson Institute for Ethics, and we used it to really inform us on planning and goals for our character education practices in schools where I've worked. These data points are from 2010. And the survey is really comprehensive. It's surveyed over 40,000 high school age students from both public and private schools. And I believe that they illustrate the impact of moral relativism in our society today. 92% of the students in the survey were satisfied with their personal ethics and character. 97% believe that trust and honesty are essential. And 97% say that it is important that people trust them. So they know it, and they believe it, they desire it, and yet 42% of the same students in the survey said that they lied sometimes to save money. 28% of the students in the survey said they stole something from a store. And 54% lied to parents about something significant two or more times. 35% of these same students cheated on tests two or more times. This is self-reporting. Interestingly, 67% of these same students said that religion was very important or essential in their lives. So despite high levels of dishonesty, most students are satisfied with their personal ethics and character. Where do they learn this?
We hope you can join us for that conversation next time. And please remember that a copy of Ron's interactive study, Living Grounded, is yours for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Whether you're a new Christian or a believer who wants to make your spiritual foundation sure, you'll grow in Christ with Living Grounded. Again, our address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call toll-free 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. By the way, if you miss any of the messages in this series, you'll find them on the front page of our website at ronmoore.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, won't you tell your friends and family about our program? Also, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to keep this ministry on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron and Bob next time as we walk together on the journey.